It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 16th day of March 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the Great Globe Round. And if at any time you, in the next 3 hours, you want to participate in said merry, wacky, zany, etc., feel free to run on by the chat room, jump right in, grab a few, if you don't already have one, get a screen name, a password, and you'll be greeted by early arrivers Ralphs and Theo and Squeaky and Anatole, and capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has in fact folded space to become Man Cave. And he is capably assisted by Horn Chief Mathematician and Chief Agronomist and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger, in Oregon. Hi, I'm Robin. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday, and it's thorny, I promise. It's really dumb in places, too. But every now and then, you know, my childhood of watching Warner Brothers cartoons pays off. You'll find out. We'll all find out. But every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is no different. So we say thank you to our 16th day of the month subscribers as we work desperately to keep everything paid off and paid for. And so thank you very much to Reinhardt out on the Virginia coast. And thank you to Tim. Thank you so much. Thank you to Mark. Thank you all so kindly for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep the program on the air. PayPal and Patreon subscribers are a huge, I'm sorry, I'm a huge part of how this program continues to work. I did not say that, Anatole. Stop that. Bud Trimmer Emeritus. You people. Yes, I just you people do, Anatole. But, yes. And so the fundraising goal for this evening stands at $800. That means that that's all of today, all of yesterday, and $200 of Tuesday. But that's still fantastic that we are that, you know, that we're working within this week. So if we could, you know, if we could knock down some of that, then we won't have a four-digit fundraising hole come Friday on the front porch. Fingers crossed. Oh, let's see. Like I said, it's Thorn in the Side Thursday. A day when we take note of right-wingers who just, you know, because of too stupid. It was spring-like today, by the way. We got up to like 62, 63 degrees. I don't know how long that's going to last. But it was awfully nice. Let's see. Yeah, 57 tomorrow. Oh, 70% chance of rain tomorrow because it's Friday. Oh, Sunday's going to be awesome. The low of 18 and the high of 34. I don't know. I think I secretly want to be a weather girl. I can't help it. But at least it was nice today. It was really nice today. And so, as far as Thorn in the Side Thursday is concerned, I mentioned something about Warner Brothers cartoons. Sometimes radio has its limitations. Because this has a visual aspect to it. And being Thorn in the Side Thursday, well, it's a Marge story. Marginal trailer queen. The cucumber queen. The Jewish space laser lady. She tweeted out a photo today. Or yesterday, rather. She tweeted out a photo. Looks kind of like a Vidalia onion wrapped in duct tape. And she was all breathless, and because God knows she's brainless. Congresswoman Spork. Sorry. Explosive found by Border Patrol agents January 17th. Remember, I said it looks like a Vidalia onion wrapped in duct tape. Agents have surveillance of who brought it in and when, and confirmed it was the cartel. The cartel! Maybe it was a caravan of cartels, Marge. This changes everything. Not only are the cartels murdering Americans every day through drugs and crime, but now they're planting bombs on the border. Oh, dear God. Because this looks exactly like the kind of bomb that, well, that Yosemite Sam would be holding in his hand as the wick fuse burns down to nothing. And of course, it goes without saying that it wasn't a bomb. It scarcely even resembles a bomb. God, this woman is so... She's such a dum-dum. And the funniest part of this story is that the guy who debunked her was the national correspondent for Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. I swear, something's going on over there, y'all. She put all this stuff out there, and all breathless and everything. They're planting bombs on the border, and we know who done it, and it's the cartel. So Bill Mulugan reached out to Customs and Border Patrol, and he quote-tweeted Marge and her picture of that Vidalia onion wrapped up in duct tape. And said, a high-level CBP source, Customs and Border Patrol, tells me that this was a fake and was actually filled with dirt. It was discovered by Border Patrol agents in Rio Grande City in the RGV, Rio Grande Valley. And while it appeared nefarious, I'm told it did not contain any explosives. Well, I mean, okay, I guess we could have a discussion, Bill Mulugan and me, what nefarious means. It was literally full of dirt. Not fentanyl, not cocaine, not gunpowder, not tannerite, dirt. Plain old-fashioned dirt. It might be good for a paperweight. But the only way anybody's going to get hurt out of this is if maybe someone were to maybe drop it on Marge's Sporkfoot. Oh, that's very clever. You know, at the beginning of every program, in order to let me know that the stream's getting out, Brother Deacon Asa sends me a picture of Herb Cain. Only today he sent me a picture. It's more like playing concentration, and the old game show. He sent me a picture of a marijuana leaf and a walking stick. It took me a second. Herb Cain. She can be taught. Mm-hmm. And, even the head of the CBP, Raul Ortiz, who was in a hearing where, you know, Marge is actually on the committee. She made that claim to him. An explosive device, but... Okay. And then when she got busted, she tried to backtrack and said, I'm just explaining what I was told today. By who, Marge? John Barron? Did John Barron tell you that there was an explosive device found on the Rio Grande border? Was it John Barron, Marge? Not saying, just saying. You get the idea that people are beginning to find a little bit of entertainment value in, well, punking Marge? It's not very difficult. Not at all. That's enough of that. And to think we pay her in excess of $100,000 a year to serve the denizens of Ripley's Believe It or Not Auditorium who live in that district in Georgia and send Mrs. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs to Congress. I know. And then, because it seems like we're spending entirely too much time there, but nonetheless we must. Back to Tenistan. Yeah, Randy, that would be... Yeah, smudge pots keep citrus groves warm and look like cartoon bombs. This doesn't look like that. It's all wrapped up in duct tape. And what would be the fuse is kind of a handle, and I don't know, you could play toss with it. All wrapped up in duct... I mean... Looks a hell of a lot like more like a really, really big yellow sweet onion wrapped in duct tape. That's all I can say. So you remember when... George DeVolder, Anthony Santos... Motocutsoma II... ripped off... the GoFundMe for, like, care for a dog. Well, he's not the only one. Let's have a look at Andy Ogles, a freshman member of Congress out of Tenistan. Mr. and Mrs. Ogles, and I want to be gentle about this, I had a child that was stillborn. That's horrifying to ponder. Happened to Annette once. And I know what a toll it takes. But Andy Ogles... wanted to build a memorial for his stillborn child. And so he set up a crowdfunding campaign telling people that that's what their donations would go toward. And he raised $25,000. An investigation by TV News Channel 5 found that Ogles set up a GoFundMe in 2014 after his son was stillborn. Ogles said he wanted to build a garden where families could bury their stillborn children and sit on benches by the gravestones. Last I checked, that's called a cemetery? Never mind, let's not get lost in the details. Well, according to News Channel 5, he raised almost 25 grand, but they never turned so much as a shovel full of dirt. Ogles had told the Tennessean in 2015 that burials are heavily regulated, and that's what kept them from buying all the plots necessary to start the garden. He said none of the money had been spent. There was, in fact, a funeral home and cemetery involved, Williamson Memorial Funeral Home. The funeral director there said she was going to meet with the Ogles family to help organize their plans. Well, 8 years later, when News Channel 5 reached out, she said, well, you know, the family just never followed up. One donor did ask for their money back, and they sent it back. This guy's a real piece of work. He's only in that congressional seat, remember, because the Republican legislature of Tennessee gerrymandered the bejesus out of Nashville to give a district to a pig licking. Their representation had previously come from Jim Cooper, a Democrat. This is the same guy, you might remember the story from a couple of weeks ago. This is the same guy who claimed to be an economist and claimed to be a law enforcement officer with a specialization in the investigation of international sex trafficking. Neither of which was even remotely true. He also said he had a consulting firm. No consulting firm to be found. And once again, there is not a blessed thing to stop voters from sending absolute brass-bound idiots and fraud merchants to Washington, D.C. So you got Andy Ogles, you got Andy Biggs, you got Scott Perry, you got Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, you got Marge. Oh, and by the way, yeah, since thank you, Ralphs. Ralph's serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Lauren Bobblehead Boobert Research Committee. Sometimes. Headline, Representative Boobert bashes return of gray wolves, calls out Front Range voters in surprise visit at GJ meeting. She said, the introduction of gray wolves is bad news for Colorado. They are dangerous predators that are going to cause more harm than good. Never mind the fact that gray wolves are indigenous to Colorado. Never mind the fact that they're actually beneficial to the ecosystem. They actually help quell disease in their prey. But then again, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert is dumber in the head than a hog is in the ass. One guy said, she's a biologist now, guys. Amazing what you can do with the GED these days. Funny thing is that the reintroduction of gray wolves in Colorado was something that voters actually voted on, you know, democratic process. They said yes to the gray wolves. But Little Miss failed the GED three times. I guess that election was stolen too. Maybe she's afraid she'll be eaten by one. I don't think a wolf would get near Lauren Bobblehead Boobert with a four-legged hot hazmat suit. Then again, wolves can sniff out disease. Another reason they'd not get anywhere near her. This is going to be one of those days. And onward to Oklahoma, Stan. There's an education critter out there, a high-ranking educational official named Ryan Walters. He's the Secretary of Education and the State Superintendent of Public Instruction. He is, of course, a maggot. One would think those things would be a contradiction in terms, but oh well, no. So it was this past Saturday and, you know, anytime that a maggot is doing something on a Saturday, especially Saturday night, you never know when somebody might have been smoking toad venom or something. It was Saturday night when Ryan Walters tweeted a black and white photo of a girl, presumably in a restroom. And by girl, I mean girl, like teenage girl. You can see her face reflected in the mirror as she is washing her hands. Good for her. You know, hand washing is a great way to slow the spread of COVID-19. But in scary red sort of stenciled font lettering, student safety over liberal agenda, the meme reads. Posting the photo, Ryan Walters said, "They will always fight for students." On the wall by the mirrors in this bathroom, there's a sign that's posted that said, "Stop! Did you wash your hands?" And so the little white girl is washing her hands. She's in one of the mirrors. In the other mirror are two brown girls who are apparently just standing there watching the white girl wash her hands. All I can say is that's weird. First of all, who's taking pictures? I mean, is this legal in Oklahoma? To take pictures of girls in a restroom? Fully clothed? But is it? "I will always fight for students. Student safety over liberal agenda." Is Ryan Walters saying that he's going to protect all of Oklahoma's little white girls from black and brown girls? It was bad enough that the newspaper of record in Oklahoma, Stan, the Oklahoman, said, "There's nothing exemplary about Walters' implications in Saturday's tweet. It's time for Oklahomans to take a stand for leadership that exudes decency and competence from the superintendent and demand that either he end his disparaging rhetoric or resign." That would be the best antidote to this metastasizing poison. A good place to start. And when the tweet started making the rounds, people said, yeah, okay, saving white girls from non-white girls. Just the hero we need. But then the real implication sort of came through, and seems a lot like maybe Ryan Walters is suggesting whites-only bathrooms in Oklahoma stand. Of course, he's a maggot. Maybe he's got a libertarian streak. You know, or you let the free market sort out what people can shop where. You remember before he even became a senator, Rand Paul, a libertarian ophthalmologist, with that thing on his head, gave an interview, oh, it went badly, to Rachel Maddow? In which he said that had he been around back then, he would have voted against the Civil Rights Act. Because government has no business telling people where they can go or what people can't go where. And he would have just waited and let the free market take care of it, because businesses wouldn't stay in business as long as they kept segregating. Never mind the fact that they'd been doing that for 100 years or so. More, actually. And the free market hadn't done anything yet. This just goes on and on and on. This stupid tweet's been seen a million times by now. And Walters himself just barely squeaked by in his primary, but then because Oklahoma Stan is Oklahoma Stan, by winning the primary, he de facto won the general election. And just by way of background, when he was running for office, he told the story of... We've been down this road. He told the story about how a former colleague told him they'd had a meeting at the school about the kids who identify as cats and want litter boxes in the potties. The thing was quickly debunked because Ryan Walters is a liar. And the litter box story spread around the country like freaking COVID. But the fact of the matter is, there are consequences for this kind of stupidity. Oklahoma Stan recently lost out on some rather significant opportunities. Panasonic. And this all, anytime I see a story or a fact pattern like this, I always think of the great book by Greg LeRoy, The Great American Job Scam, and the race to the bottom among the states. Well, Oklahoma Stan was in the running to have a battery manufacturing plant that was going to be built by Panasonic. Panasonic looked around Oklahoma Stan and said, nope. And they went due north and put it in Kansas. Volkswagen. Just a matter of days ago, Volkswagen, who had been looking at Oklahoma Stan, said, I think not. We will not put a plant in Oklahoma Stan. You remind us of our past. And then they took a powder on the entire United States and went to Ontario, Canada. So that's where their plant will go in. This was not lost on State Representative Cindy Munson from Oklahoma City. They do have Democrats in Oklahoma, a few. She's the leader of the minority in the House of Representatives. And she said, you know, if we want big companies like Volkswagen to choose Oklahoma over other states and countries like Canada, we need more than just tax incentives. We need lawmakers to stop making laws that limit access to health care for women and transgender Oklahomans. We need the governor and the state superintendent of public instruction to stop working to defund and denounce our public schools. One person did point out that somebody, maybe Walters didn't send the tweet all by himself. High five to the design intern who clearly hates you. And this thing, this story came with a picture of Ryan Walters, and oh, let's just say there's a couple of sirens blaring in my head. Yeah, he was standing there, and another picture of him with his red maggot hat, getting ready to, I don't know, fling it into the audience. Maybe it's got a grenade in it. I don't know. But Ryan Walters thinks he's a rising star in Oklahoma Stan, and, well, posting pictures of little girls in bathrooms, it's a Republican state. They may dig that kind of thing. What was it, just the last couple of days we had a story about a, yeah, Republican going up on improper contact with a minor charges as well as possession of child pornography, right? Wow. It's every day. Every blessed day. Hey, I've got some good news update from our pal Megan over in Virginia, formerly of Delaware. You might recall we talked yesterday about how she'd had a rotten piece of luck and fell down some stairs and slipped on ice. And good update. I was able to see a specialist for both of my injuries. A maybe wrist fracture, but a sprain in my ankle. I have braces for both. Workers' comp came through, and I go back to the same doctor for a checkup in 2 weeks. We usually reserve the cowbells for something funny. But in this case, Megan, you get a cowbell for just getting some good news. Glad to hear it, Megan. Really glad to hear it. Oh, and remember the story from a couple of days ago about the guy from the maggot from Tampa, the state senator Jay Collins, who proudly introduced a bill that would ban the pride flag from flying in front of government buildings, but would have allowed the Confederate battle flag to fly. Yeah. That apparently set off a bit of a firestorm, and State Senator Jay Collins didn't enjoy it at all. So yesterday, he withdrew the amendment. Because, according to his spokes creep, Ted Veerman,
We pulled the amendment to ensure the wording of our bill is in line with the state constitution.
It's in the constitution!
Any insinuation that Jay is a Confederate sympathizer is disgusting.
Yeah, except for the fact that I don't believe that that thing was introduced in error in the least. He overplayed his hand, or as football fans might say, he outkicked his coverage. Oops. Well, let's stay in Florida. And you want something to absolutely cringe over? The Florida legislature doesn't go sine die until May the 5th. So that means 15, 45, there's 50 more days of Florida legislature And God only knows how much monkey up business they can get up to in that time. Well, here's part of it. They've had a hearing on Florida's HB 991 and the Civil Justice Subcommittee has reported it out. 13 Republicans and one Democrat, who the hell are you, on the committee, voted to advance it. The four other Democrats on the committee, and that gives you an idea of what kind of outnumbering there is in Florida, 13-5 on that subcommittee. Four other Democratic members voted against it. And then the bill's sponsor, a Republican state representative named Alex Andrade, sort of gave the game away. What this bill does, well, it's being described as a death knell for American traditions of free speech. It rearranges defamation law in the state of Florida. Certainly contrary to New York Times versus Sullivan and Falwell v. Hustler and its progeny. But Alex Andrade says it doesn't change the definition of defamation. It most certainly does. But when I say he gave the game away, he said,
as one of my favorite people to listen to, Ben Shapiro, always says, facts don't care about your feelings.
That distills down to facts over feelings. Because little neo-maxi-zoom dweeby Ben, my dry wife Shapiro, thinks that he always argues only from facts, but, well, he doesn't. It's almost entirely nothing but opinion. Alex Andrade went on to say,
you're entitled to your statements of opinion. You're entitled to your personal subjective viewpoints. This bill doesn't change that.
On the other hand, lawyers who actually know law things and read law stuff in law books, in addition to people in the journalism field, other activists, well, there was a public hearing, and they all rose and spoke against it and said that it does exactly what I said a couple of minutes ago, that it goes entirely against well-settled Supreme Court precedent. Gee, I wonder if that's why it was introduced. Samuel Morley is general counsel for the Florida Press Association. He said, we think the overall bill is really an attack on all speech, not just media, but citizens as well. The bill violates the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. It likely violates Florida's Constitution, and it sets troubling public policy. That was Carol Lociero, a lawyer in Tampa. The First Amendment issues are severe. Bobby Block, executive director of the Florida First Amendment Foundation, said HB 991 weaponizes defamation law to the point that it represents a death knell for American traditions of free speech. If HB 991 becomes law, its provisions will be used to try to crush critics of government policy. All of this has to do with the New York Times versus Sullivan standard of actual malice in proving a claim. That is, with regard to a public figure. You It goes so far to say that if the claim has nothing to do with their governmental work, then actual malice is not in play. It would make it almost impossible for a journalism organization reporting in Florida or on a Florida public official to cite an anonymous source, because the bill, by definition, says that anonymous sources are deemed false for defamation purposes. And that if a reporter will not out his source, the plaintiff only has to show they acted negligently, which is a way, 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 way lower standard. On the other hand, when I said maybe that's the purpose a few minutes ago, well, again, giving away the game, maggot Republican, well, that was redundant, representing Mike Beltran, just before he voted in favor of the bill, said maybe this bill would be the occasion for New York Times versus Sullivan to be revisited or overruled or narrowed. Curiously, that is another one of those judicial fetish objects of the right wing. Beltran's God Emperor, his orange God Emperor over there in Mogoloco, has been barking and bleating and braying and grunting about the standards for defamation cases for public figures for years. Because people keep telling the truth about him. And he doesn't like it. But a lot of people were too afraid to put their names to anything because they know what would happen. And of course, it wouldn't be a Florida bill if it didn't have a section that takes dead aim at the queer community. John Harris Maurer is with Equality Florida addressing the committee. He said, "We need further clarification of a section that addresses defamatory allegations of discrimination against queer people." For instance, if you say something like, "Monkey Up hates the queers," Monkey Up could come after you, I guess. Maurer went on to say, "This bill is sexist, racist, homophobic, and transphobic. Why? Because it restricts people's ability to call out sexism, racism, homophobia, and transphobia. It's politically motivated." And this bill is a biggie for Monkey Up. On the other hand, one of the people who had spoken against it Namely, Bobby Block of the Florida First Amendment Foundation, said that it may not, even though it cleared its first hurdle, it may not make it all the way out of the legislature. Because he said, "A law like this is kind of like weaponizing a virus or bacteria. Once you release it into the wild, you have no idea what it's going to do. You can't control any of it. It could swing around and bite you in the ass. Because nobody defames quite like right-wing media defames." And it might very well take the teeth out of a lot of white-wing broadcasting in the Sunshine State. The alligator state, the hurricane state, the state of ignorance, Florida. But right now, not much of that matters because Florida is a full-on experiment in fascist dictatorship. It's scary. And there are actually people talking about this this bill all over the country, because again, it may spread like a virus. Because as we've noted before, whatever kind of bad legislation is the fetish object of the moment for Republicans, well, it'll cross the borders into Georgia, it'll wind up in South Carolina stan, it'll wind up in Tennessee stan, in Alabama, Georgia stan, Mississippi stan. It'll just flood across the Confederacy and then head north and head west and northwest. Wait, that was a movie, wasn't it? Yeah, North by Northwest. Cornfield and the airplane. Until it finally gets stopped, if in fact it does get stopped. Going back to Ryan Walters in Oklahoma, Stan, Flavio says, damn, the fuck is wrong with that dude? Everything. That tweet is creeptastic in so many ways. Yeah. Starting with the fact that somebody was taking... How do you set up taking a picture of girls in a bathroom? Teenage girls in a bathroom. I'm betting that violates some Republican law somewhere. Does Ryan Walters have a high school age kid? I don't know. And then there's Rick Skeletor Scott. Remember how the Republicans hate job-killing regulations? Remember that? Remember how they gut any attempts to protect people from industrial poisoning and the like? I do. Well, now all of a sudden Rick Skeletor Scott wants the EPA administrator, Michael Regan, to snap to it and tell him, Rick Skeletor Scott, who wants to make government small enough to drown in a bathtub, what the hell it's doing about the toxic red tie algae flare-up in Florida. He wants to know what they're doing to stop further future toxic red algae blooms. He wants to know why the EPA ain't working harder with state agencies and whether they're collecting data. Well, he's a Republican. He doesn't like for outfits to government organizations to collect data. Right? In the letter he sent to Michael Regan, he said, cooperation is necessary to address the impacts of red tide on Florida's coastal communities and ecosystems. When I served as governor of Florida, I directed more than $20 million to combat the effects of a major red tide boom in 2018. In response to this natural disaster, I brought together scientific research partners like Moat Marine Laboratory and Aquarium and the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution to work with state agencies. Yeah. Well, there's been a red tide problem since October in 7 counties in Florida. It's produced health disparities and health problems for people who live there. Killed a lot of marine life. Where it's most heavily concentrated, folks get burning eyes and have respiratory problems. Some 36 Floridians have been admitted to poison control centers. Thing is, the University of Central Florida says you can't actually prevent these things. One current effort to mitigate it is to pour a clay mixture on top of it and sink it to the bottom of the ocean. But before that can be rolled out on a wide scale, they have to find out what happens when the algae gets to the bottom of the ocean and what impact it has on ocean life down there. Of course, the University of Central Florida says it's a naturally occurring phenomenon, but when it occurs on a level, on a scale like this, is it unreasonable to wonder if climate change has something to do with it? If perhaps warmer oceans create more favorable conditions for the red algae to propagate and bloom? Or am I just some crazy-ass liberal? Bernadette says, red tide, the toxic red tide problem in Florida is not in the water, it's in government. Ooh. She shoots, she scores. Because remember, I think you still can't say sea level rise or climate change in the state of Florida. You're better off trying to deny the divinity of Jesus H. Christ. Emilio says, Floridudians? Now you've gone too far, Kincaid. What? Floridudlians? Mistakes get made here, but I mean, so that's just a few things to take into account. Here in the first hour of the program. Although I gotta mention, because sooner or later this was bound to happen, did you know that there is a beloved, I hate even saying this, did you know that there is a beloved MAGA drag queen? There is. The performer goes by the name Lady MAGA USA. And Lady MAGA USA is one of Donald Trump's biggest fans. I recently found myself subjected once again to that video of Rudy Giuliani, a man in a dress, yucking it up with Donald Trump, and Donald Trump motorboating. God. Motorboating Rudy Giuliani's fake boobs. Them's fake boobs! Blast from the past. Lady MAGA is actually a dude named Ryan Woods, who's from Salt Lake City, Utah. Also a Mormon, because of course. He's been tweeting MAGA horse shit to the tune of about 14,000 tweets. And went total fangirl when Nitwit Nero came down the golden escalator babbling about Mexican racists in 2015. What's hilarious out of all of this is that Ryan Woods, Lady MAGA USA, if you want to see a picture, you can look it up. Has changed his self-description, his self-identification. He's no longer a drag queen. Now he's a costume artist who dresses up in women's clothing, wears makeup, and displays feminine mannerisms. As I've stated,
I now prefer to call myself a costume artist, not a drag queen. The drag world was a way I could use my talents, but they destroyed their credibility with predatory filth. I'm a performer. I can play any cosplay character. My artistry is about creativity and fun.
And Ryan Woods is that rarest of creatures. Ryan is a gay maggot Mormon. And now nobody wants to work with him. One of the most popular drag performers, Tara Lipsinky. I love drag names. If I was ever going to do drag, I'd do it with like a Jedi theme. And my drag name would be Yolo Fafo. I think I've mentioned that in the past. Tara Lipsinky said, I only personally worked with them once and never booked him because of his Lady MAGA and hateful rhetoric against trans people. He was ostracized for sure after he came out as Lady MAGA, but that wasn't the whole reason. He was ostracized because of his online attacks towards many in the community here and just being drama backstage at shows. Many performers have been canceled for similar behavior to what he did. The whole Trump love was just the icing on the cake. Some cake. Some icing. The thing is, though, you remember CPAC a couple of weeks ago? There in the greater D.C. area? That was the CPAC where Michael Toehler called for the extermination of trans people? Well, Lady MAGA USA was there. And lots of the maggots who went to CPAC were eager to get a selfie with him. On Twitter, this goon said, CPAC was a 4-day magical roller coaster. I didn't have a minute to myself. Smiles, love, cameras, interviews, and nonstop photos. What an honor to have grown to this level. I'm exhausted but blissful. I walk with God's angels now. On Kolob, dumbass. Lady MAGA USA, the costume artist, actually spoke a couple of weeks prior, to the terrorist attack on the Capitol of January 6, 2021. There, the hardcores booed him and shouted, shame, shame. Oh, what a schmuck. But here we are. And here we are into the second hour of the program. Yeah, I got the joke, Brother Deacon Asa. Ha ha, they're so clever. Get it? Lady MAGA is in Lady Gaga, but I beg to differ. Rudy Giuliani is the MAGA drag queen. No. Do not you don't want to get on the wrong side of Matt in San Francisco on this one, Brother Deacon. Matt in San Francisco has long since explained to us that Rudy Giuliani was not in drag. He was just a man in a dress. In fact, Matt noted, you know, that's one life of Brian I don't want to see. Matt's been on a roll lately.
Yeah.
Gay maggot Mormon? Emilio says, that's a punchline unto itself. Or is that a band name? Vegan pastor killer? I don't know. Lady MAGA USA, Bernadette says, a costume artist deep in a river in Egypt named Denial. Well played, Bernadette. Stephen New York says, Lady MAGA, when he attended a demonstration to overturn the election, Speaker Nick Fuentes pointed him out and said, that's disgusting, I don't want to see that, causing part of the crowd to chant shame. Right, remember, Nick Fuentes is the Mexican Nazi who is a proud virgin who says that it is gay for men to have sex with women. Oh, we'll find out about Nick Fuentes soon enough, I have a feeling. It gets confusing, Tom. Tom and Sunny San Rafael says, subject line, Florida. Now I'm not sure whether you said Floridudians or Floridudians, but either way, it's both exquisite and descriptive. Thank you. The validation means everything, Tom. And, yeah, I know. Thank you, Billable. I appreciate the condolences. I expected it. It was a heartbreaker. My Mountaineers bowed out in the first round of the dance to border rival Maryland. Sorry to hear that your beloved Mountaineers were nipped today in the NCAA men's basketball tourney 67-65 by the Maryland Turtles. I'm hoping that my Hawkeyes can eke out a win against the Tuberville Tigers, Auburn, in their game starting in 45 minutes. Auburn has not been terrible. I just want somebody to take down my beloved Crimson Tide real quick. No good gets to come to Alabama right now. Not as long as they are the way they are. Oh, and Ryan Woods, the passwords are cognitive dissonance. Thank you, Steve. Steve adds, algae bloom climate change? Yes. From Australia, as the Bureau of Meteorology has already warned us, Australia is in for a hot, dry summer as the current El Nino takes hold. Those conditions are ideal for blue-green algae to bloom in lakes, ponds, and reservoirs. Red algae is, of course, seaborne, but I would think that the same sorts of conditions would obtain. But like I said, we're in the end of the second hour of the program, and we are a goose egg. We got $800 to raise. If we could raise 201, we wouldn't have a four-digit fundraising hole tomorrow. And honestly, I'm a little worried because I know I'm going to be gone the 24th. 24th, 27th, 28th, 29th. Hope to be back on the 30th, but that's four shows, and that's four goose eggs. And I got a couple of bills that have to be paid this evening. So it'd be wonderful if we could knock down some, dare I hope, all of it, but it's there. The hole is $800 deep. There is a challenge on the table, courtesy of Ralph's. The Kayla behind the blinds, and I'm offering a $25 challenge for Kayla not wrecking the blinds. What do we have to do to get through that to that deer feline? The blinds just meet. Is there a chance that, like, there's some catnip on the blinds or something, or does she just want to go out and play? Are there birds and squirrels out there? I could see that being a potential cause. Anyway, it is Thursday, which means that we have an installment of the Green News Report. Always good to hear from Brad and Desi. And this is kind of a program note. I had something, this came in from our buddy Jake in Columbus. Jake, who you might recall, suffered a tragic loss in his family recently. Said, I'm trying to bounce back from the latest untimely loss of a close, beloved relative, as you know. But he asks, what's up with Malloy? He's no longer on your stream, and I can't seem to find him anywhere. Not on Progressive Voices, which has the lousiest stream in general, nowhere. Are you privy to what's going on? I miss Mike. Hope you and yours are, you and yours are well. Spring just might be on the way. Jake in Columbus, I hope it is. But the next few days aren't going to be spring-like. Okay, let me explain. I mean, it's not like there's any trouble in paradise or anything. We don't have the ability to run Malloy anymore because there were some changes to how PV gets the program, and that makes it difficult for us to take the program. It's entirely and exclusively technical. But that's all I can, I mean, it's not all I can say, like that's all I'm allowed to say. It's all I can say because it's all I know. So I hope that helps, although it really doesn't, because Jake says, I miss Mike. I know. This from our pal Theo in the Great Northwest up in Portlandia. Theo's trove of useless, obscure knowledge. I mentioned North by Northwest and the scene with Cary Grant and the cornfield and the biplane. Hi, Robin. Hi, Theo. And I sort of knew the movie and air show pilot who buzzed Cary Grant in that harrowing shot. It was Frank Tallman, a genius at his trade, and the one guy whom Alfred Hitchcock could have fly the sequence without the studio's insurance guarantors pitching epic hissy fits. So there. One of the most iconic moments in cinematic history, beyond a shadow of a doubt. So let's take a moment, check in with Brad and Desi, see what they've got going on, and then come back. And if you want to engage in some conversation, you're more than welcome so to do. The stress line is 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And Skype calls come in to Bob Kincaid Horn or to 304-574-8178. 844-THE-HORN or Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. I got such a list of things to do. Seems like I never catch up. Got to do something about that Bob Kincaid thing. It'd be really nice. So anyway, see what's up with Brad and Desi.
It's Thursday, March 16, 2023.
Folks, this is a tremendous step forward in the right direction.
Biden administration moves to lower levels of forever chemicals in drinking water.
This lawsuit is designed to make sure that Norfolk and Southern keeps their word to the people of East Palestine and the people of Ohio.
Ohio sues over chemical train derailment. Plus, one state generates much more renewable energy than any other.
It's California. It's California, right?
It is not California.
It's not California? All of those stories and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
If we don't keep the temperature from going above 1.5 degrees Celsius raised, then we're in real trouble. That whole generation is damned.
Damn. I got nothing snarky to add. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, welcome to Generation Damned. What do you have for us today?
Well, first up, February 2023 was the planet's fourth hottest February on record since global record keeping began in 1850. That's according to both NASA and NOAA. Rising global temperatures do have cascading consequences. In southeastern Africa, unrelenting tropical cyclone Freddy, the longest lasting tropical cyclone on record at nearly 40 days, has now killed more than 200 people across Malawi, Mozambique, and Madagascar, with hundreds more injured and scores still missing. Freddy has accumulated more energy over its journey across the Indian Ocean than an entire U.S. Atlantic hurricane season.
And it's still spinning at this point?
It does appear to be on its way out. A new United Nations report warns that climate change has had a devastating impact on Africa's economies. African countries now spend nearly 10% of their budgets on response to extreme weather disasters, and that is expected to worsen in coming years. Unusually warm waters in the Atlantic Ocean have created the largest annual bloom of sargassum seaweed ever observed.
That sounds nice. Is it?
No, it is not. It's 5,000 miles long and 300 miles wide. It can be seen from space. It's already hitting beaches in the Florida Keys and along the Gulf of Mexico. The thick seaweed wreaks havoc close to shore, blocking light from reaching corals and impacting air and water quality as it decomposes. But Florida's Gulf Coast is already grappling with a toxic red tide algae bloom that has caused dead fish to wash ashore in droves and forced the cancellation of events due to the risk of respiratory irritation for humans amid the busy spring break tourism season.
Florida sounds great.
In the East Palestine, Ohio train derailment disaster, Ohio Republican Attorney General Dave Yost has filed a lawsuit against railroad company Norfolk Southern to ensure it pays for the cleanup and environmental damages. The suit seeks damages and civil penalties, alleging multiple violations of state and federal law in last month's train derailment that released toxic chemicals over the town.
Among the things we note in the complaint are Norfolk and Southern's escalating accident rate. It's up 80% over 10 years. At least 20 Norfolk and Southern derailments since 2015 have included chemical spills.
Gosh, it's a shame the last Republican president did away with all those railroad regulations, isn't it?
But some good news.
Good.
Biden administration EPA Administrator Michael Regan was in North Carolina this week proposing the first ever standards to limit notorious forever chemicals in drinking water. Known as PFAS for short, the synthetic chemicals are used in numerous industrial and consumer applications and are ubiquitous in water systems. PFAS chemicals linger in the environment and the human body and lead to serious health problems. Environmental groups welcomed the action, saying saying the standards will help reduce harm to people. But Dana Sargent of North Carolina's Cape Fear River Watch explained to a local news station that further action is necessary to address the source of PFAS pollution.
This type of regulation does not hold polluters accountable. It does put the burden on the community and the utilities to pay for upgrades. But these are the starts that need to happen. So this is an absolutely crucial step in this colossal fight.
Finally, one state generates much, much more renewable energy than any other, and it's not California.
What?
Inside Climate News reports on new data on the nation's electricity mix that shows one state is really the nation's clean energy leader. According to the Federal Energy Information Administration, Texas has produced more electricity from renewable sources than any other state for several years running, thanks largely to its massive wind energy projects. But Texas is also quickly closing the gap with solar energy leader California on construction and deployment of utility-scale solar power.
Texas.
Texas.
Who knew? For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Blow, blow, U.S. Texas wind. Turn those turbines, dependable friend. Power the future for the next generation's crying. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Way out west in Texas, where you can hardly make a living.
Sorry about the dead air. Hey, Don in West Tennistan. Don wanted to check in on how to send me stuff. BobKincaid@gmail.com, but it's BobKincaid. BobKincaid@gmail.com is a good email address. And Don says, keep on doing what you're doing. It really helps in the sticks of West Tennistan. I appreciate that, Don. I do so very much. And Jake, if you're listening, Randy Radar says, I think that maybe Netroots Radio also carries Malloy. So you might want to check in that regard. Don't know. I don't know the answer to that for sure, though. Oh, my. Big upset. Furman beats Virginia in the first round of the dance. Well, Virginia and Best Virginia both lost in the first round. How about that? See what I did there? Best Virginia. Yeah. I know, it's not really true. This is an interesting story. According to a report from the Daily Beast, and what we have here is the beginnings of the deconstruction of Monkey Up. What I mean by that is that the Daily Beast had an article that details just how freaking weird Monkey Up is. Having interviewed a number of people who know about his habits, his personality, and the like, they told the Daily Beast that his basic social skills are strange, to say the least, and that his handlers have to structure his public appearances in such a way as to make sure that there aren't any unanticipated interactions with, you know, human beings. Reminds me of back when we used to talk about the Romney bot. One former Declantis staffer said he would sit in meetings and eat in front of people, always like a starving animal who's never eaten before, getting shit everywhere. Well, here went dinner in the Central Daylight Time Zone. And, of course, we've mentioned him posing with the fascist snowflake. That's a pretty good nickname for him, the fascist snowflake. And at a donor retreat late last month in Palm Beach, somebody there stood up and called him DeSatan. One individual who hosts Republican events said he's easily the least responsive campaign I've ever dealt with. We invite, 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 ping, ping, ping. We don't hear anything. And then there was the fact that they used bike racks to wall him off from human contact when he was in Iowa. And somebody in New Hampshire said, well, if they want 50 bike racks, we'll give them 50 bike racks. Dude's a freak. Insecure about his height. Apparently insecure about his skin tone. Only took me 2.5 years to find a foundation that worked with my face. He's still looking. Oh, and from the Gosh, I Hope It Doesn't Hurt Too Little department, Bobblehead is heading to court. Yeah, Clanny Oakley, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, is being sued by a political activist from North Carolina. A guy named David Wheeler, who runs something called the American Muckrakers Pack. This is the individual, I think, who put out the leaked information that Lauren used to be, and this is a euphemism, an escort. Ahem. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Well, he sued Bobblehead in state court in North Carolina. The judge dismissed the case and didn't dismiss it on the merits, just said, you got the wrong court here, bub, and said, you need to go and file it in Colorado. So now David Wheeler's going to file a lawsuit in federal court in Colorado. And said, and this is fun, said he plans to depose Clanny Oakley by video, and says it would certainly be in the public interest to be able to see that videotape. And since it's become vogue to sue Fox News TV Radio Rwanda along the way, and why wouldn't you? He may include in his lawsuit Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, Sean Life Support System for a Haircut, The Hannity Job. It's worth remembering, as the Colorado Newsline story points out, that David Wheeler and American Muckrakers did a lot of the heavy lifting in making sure that little first-term drag queen Madison Maddie Cawthorn, he of the adorable black lace bra on the cruise ship, didn't get a second term in Congress. And in fact, got defeated in the primary. Ben Stout is the spokes creep for Clanny Oakley. And he said,
well, he was unsuccessful in the North Carolina case.
Yeah, what really got under her skin was the disclosure that American Muckrakers made that, among other things, she probably has had, more abortions than Carter's had little liver pills. Bobblehead then accused Muckrakers of publishing false statements knowing they were completely fabricated, said it was defamation, said she was moving forward with a lawsuit. But then somebody must have explained to Clanny Oakley that at least until such time as the Florida legislature gives the Supreme Court a reason to overturn New York Times versus Sullivan, truth is an absolute defense to a claim of defamation. And Wheeler has damages. Because, among other things, he says Muckrakers' donations fell dramatically. Boebert did try to get a protective order against David Wheeler, but insofar as David Wheeler had never been anywhere near her, well, her claims had no merit, and therefore the case was bounced out of court. So now it'll show up in some U.S. District Court in Colorado. He's already got a specialist in defamation cases in Denver. That person is Dan Ernst, who said, we did contact Fox, and specifically the Hannity program, and they were explicitly not responsive. They weren't open to David's overtures about correcting the record. Well, good luck, Mr. Wheeler. Looking forward to that deposition footage. And I guess I, somewhere along the way, I should address the question of the bank issues. Credit Suisse is being backstopped, that's the new term, by the Swiss government, somewhere around $54 billion. But Credit Suisse has been in trouble for a long, long time, going all the way back to the financial crisis of 2008. There was some breaking news as I came to air. To the extent that Republic Bank is now said to being backstopped. But honestly, and maybe I'm too much of a Pollyanna where this is concerned, I'm not terribly worried about it. One, I'm not heavily invested in Bitcoin. But two, it seems like there's some really competent people at the helm right now. And they're not gonna fall prey to some libertarian horse shit about, you know, burn baby burn. Because that's what the free market libertarians all, you know, until it starts being, until it starts affecting them. Yeah? And then this little moment of, how about that? The North Dakota Supreme Court is comprised entirely of Republicans, probably maggots. But they did a rather remarkable thing. They did it today. The North Dakota Supreme Court today ruled unanimously that the state constitution of North Dakota protects abortion where it is necessary to preserve the mother's life or health, and flat out blocked a ban passed by the North Dakota Stan legislature that criminalized women's reproductive health choices. The ban in question was actually passed all the way back in 2007, and it was passed anticipatorily should Roe ever fall. After Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health was announced, however, a state court judge blocked that law before it could go into effect. And it went up to the state Supreme Court. And then, lo and behold, the unbelievable happened. Chief Justice John J. Jensen, really, said the state constitution grants all residents the right of enjoying and defending life and liberty, pursuing and obtaining safety and happiness, and that those guarantees implicitly include the right to obtain an abortion to preserve the woman's life or health. If the maggots manage to expand their power, they will owe a profound debt of gratitude to people like John J. Jensen and the other four maggot judges on the North Dakota Supreme Court who have saved their bacon. Jensen went on to say that when the state classifies emergency abortions as de facto criminal unless proven otherwise, patients lose a right to enjoy and defend life and a right to pursue and obtain safety. And here's an example of how things have changed. In 1887, before North Dakota even became a state, that happened in 1889, North Dakota expressly legalized abortions to protect the health and safety of the mother. And even after they became a state, they continued to preserve this explicit right. And so Justice John J. Jensen found the right to be deeply rooted in North Dakota's history and culture, ordered liberty before, during, and at the time of statehood. And because Republicans are so goddamn weird, a justice named Jared Tuft concurred in the decision today and said that a life-saving abortion is merely a function of the right of self-defense. He went on to say, just like anybody has a right to use lethal force to defend their life, a patient has a right to terminate a pregnancy that threatens their life. And then a woman on the court, Lisa Fair McEvers, said, you know, the North Dakota Constitution may in fact include a guarantee of an additional fundamental right beyond an abortion to preserve the life or health, particularly to ensure, make certain that women enjoy, quote, the same natural and inalienable rights as men. It's a heck of a victory in a place like North Dakota. And it's indicative of the fact that when you strip away the politics and the rest of the foolishness, it's actually possible to reach a right conclusion. And of course, the life and health and safety of the mother is something that only the mother and the doctor can determine. Not a lawyer, not a judge, and certainly not some grifty, tax-exempt gang of thugs like the Alliance Defaming Freedom. Kansas, now North Dakota. But there's a kind of a punchline to all of this. There is only one abortion provider in the entire state of North Dakota, Stan. And that abortion provider in the state of North Dakota, Stan, is moving to Minnesota. Maybe someone who can perform them will spring to the defense of pregnant people who need reproductive care in North Dakota, Stan. But it does show that even maggots are beginning to figure out that this was a real, they chased the tiger, they hunted the tiger, they caught the tiger, they grabbed the tiger, they got on the tiger, they're riding the tiger, And the problem with riding the tiger is once you get on there, all you can do is grab the tail and an ear and hope you don't get eaten. I don't know about you, but I'm rooting for the tiger. Told you it was going to be an interesting Thursday. I'm checking here to see if we've got a doubling down on a story from yesterday. No, that's a parody piece. Okay. By the way, Rex Hupke at USA Today is a pretty good tongue-in-cheek writer. No Dave Barry, but still pretty good. And back to Flora Duff for a second. Minnesota, by the way, Flavio says, where they're legislating to bring back child labor, which I'm sure would greatly please 3M. Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing. That's Minnesota? Are you sure? I mean, I know you're right next door and everything, but I thought the story about bringing back child labor was somewhere else. Or maybe it's both. Nah, it's not worth the effort. By the way, I do love it when Republicans fight amongst themselves. Oh, that's what, yeah, First Republic Bank is in deep shit, and 11 banks have pledged $30 billion to backstop it. I'm all for protecting the deposits of small depositors, people, working people. But like in the case of Silicon Valley Bank, the executives who got bonuses the day before shit hit the fan, that money needs to go back, and, well, somebody needs to do jail time. And I mean, I say that somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but knowing how we are, liberals, progressives, and what a bitter damn pill it was to swallow when absolutely nothing happened to any of the assholes who caused the 2008 financial crisis, because we have to look forward and not back. I hope somebody's telling Joe Biden that he needs some at least token heads on pikes with Silicon Valley Bank and these other outfits, if for no other reason than to prove that we're not going to do that looking forward and not back bullshit again. Because in another case of looking forward and not looking forward and not back, apparently there are a number of people who think that it's just gonna start raining indictments up in Mar-a-Loco. And that when the first one goes, more will follow. And it's funny, once you compel somebody to testify under oath with the power of the law behind them, especially when that somebody is about a 5-foot-nothing little hobbit from South Carolina, suddenly they start telling the truth. And now information is slowly making its way out as to how Miss Lindsay, testified in front of the Fulton County special grand jury. A number of jurors talked to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and one of them told that publication that Lindsay said that in the relevant time frame, if somebody told Trump that aliens came down and stole Trump ballots, Trump would have believed it. Another juror said that Lindsay didn't take them seriously. He said, I just felt like we as a group were portrayed as not serious. That really bothered me because that's not how I felt. I took it very seriously. I showed up, did what I was supposed to do, did not do what I was asked not to do, you know? Another juror said, I can honestly give a damn of whoever goes to jail, you know, like personally. I care more about there being more respect in the system for the work that people do to make sure elections are free and fair. You get the idea that the jurors are a little bit wrought. One said, I tell my wife if every person in America knew every single word of information we knew, this country would not be as divided as it is right now. That's a hell of a statement. That sounds like that juror saying that the Republicans were absolutely corrupt, filthy, beyond any stretch of the imagination. Now off to old Virginia. And by the way, we are rapidly approaching the third hour of the program. We're still a goose egg. And Ralph still has $25 on the table that she will use to double $25 if the $25 will just come in. It's good not to goose egg programs because that just gets us deeper in a hole and deeper in debt. So anyway, Brandon Jarvis, a political journalist in Virginia, is reporting that a member of the Virginia House of Delegates, a real Lulu, her name is Marie March. She's apparently crazier than the sprayed roach. There's a photo of her standing next to Glenn Youngkin. Both of them grinning like foxes eating shit out of a wire brush. And Marie March is now hustling money from supporters who oppose Joe Biden and his anti-gun schemes. And Marie March says, I will lead the effort to outlaw every single federal anti-gun edict or rule change here in the Commonwealth of Virginia and make it a felony to try to push these anti-gun schemes on law-abiding citizens. That's the brain trust that's MAGA. This genius wants to charge any member of Congress with a felony in Virginia who votes to restrict access to firearms. A report at the Daily Beast said in her email, March offered a baroque legal theory to support the hypothetical bill. You see, James Madison, who wrote the Constitution, and Thomas Jefferson, who wrote the Declaration of Independence, both authored another key piece of legislation that passed, the 1798 Virginia and Kentucky resolutions. In these resolutions, Jefferson states, said states must nullify any and all unconstitutional actions by the federal government, and Madison said it is the duty of state delegates to do so. Well, then, we're back to nullification. Last I checked, we sorted out the little nullification problem and came to terms on it in something like April of 1865. In fact, nullification was part of the legal reasoning. And states deciding to secede. But it didn't go completely away, because lo and behold, nullification was argued as a remedy to Brown versus Board of Education. Oh, and by the way, little Jimmy Madison in 1800 did write a report in 1800 saying that no, the several states do not have the authority to nullify federal law. Yeah, Marie March is a real hard working delegate. One of her signature issues in the recent past was trying to make sure that every school bus in Virginia had a decal on it that said, "In God We Trust." Oh, by the way, she also went to the Stop the Steal rally in D.C. on January 6th. And like I said, I love it when Republicans fight with each other. Come on, let's you and her fight. She's running against Wren Williams. Wren Williams is another maggot. When maggots fight. Wren Williams is a dude. And Marie March says he intentionally pushed and shouldered and slammed her at a gala. Curiously enough, there's video, and it shows Wren Williams accidentally bumping into her. You know, they get liquored up at these things, and a lot of bumping goes on. Not in a good way. And, oh, sorry, and then leaves. And then when that evidence came out at trial, she said, the judge is corrupt, which is the same thing as the election was stolen. I know this is going to sound far-fetched, but is it maybe time that we start thinking about some mechanism, some manner, some means of making sure, yeah, the ballot box would be a good place to start, of making sure idiots don't make it into government? Yeah, but then again, most of the entire state government, the legislature of West Virginia would disappear like smoke on the wind if that were the case. I'm sorry, I'm just really deeply annoyed by rampant stupidity. I guess you could say that some people are beginning to scent blood in the water where Julius Geezer is concerned. Mike Pence is going after him now. And you know it must be really, really safe if Mike Pence has finally found the courage to pluck a hair from the beard of the wounded lion. Not that Nero was ever a lion. The guy's scared of any bird that isn't even cooked. But Mike Pencilneck Geek, who of course is a super duper extra double plus Christian, has some notion that he can capture the evangelical vote that somehow or another Nitwit Nero had grabbed back in 2016. The Gridiron Club dinner is usually a light-hearted affair, but Mike Pencilneck Geek got pretty serious in addressing the faithful. So at that Gridiron Club dinner, he said,
I once invited President Trump to Bible study. He really liked the passages about the smiting and perishing of thine enemies, as he put it.
You know, Mike, there's some really good stuff in here.
Yeah. You know, in 2 Corinthians.
Walk into a bar.
But he went on to say that with the classified documents scandal from MAGA-Loco, it proves Nitwit Nero's lack of biblical literacy.
I read that some of those classified documents they found at Mar-a-Lago were actually stuck in the president's Bible, which proves he had absolutely no idea they were there.
You know, because he doesn't read it. It's beginning to look more and more like it may be hell among the yearlings when the Republican pageants get going. Memo to Nimrata Haley. It's not going to be you, girl. And so Nitwit Nero, having heard about what Pence said at the Gridiron Club, fired back. And said,
had he sent the votes back to the legislators, they wouldn't have had a problem with January 6th. So in many ways, you can blame him for January 6th. Believe me, had he sent them back to Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, the states, I believe, number one, you have a different outcome. Trump reported, yeah. But I also believe you wouldn't have had January 6th, as we call it.
There is no viable legal theory under the sun, or even I've heard among the multi-limbed amorphous aliens of Norblap 9, whereby Mike Pence had the power to do what Nitwit Nero asserts he did. This proves that Nitwit Nero not only doesn't know the Bible, he also doesn't know anything about the Constitution. This could get fun. And Jack Smith, meanwhile, has issued dozens of subpoenas, at least 2 dozen, for people who worked at MAGA-Loco, up to and including the wait staff, that from CNN today. Reporting on Thursday, Trump's communications aide, Margo Martin, who worked in the White House and then moved with Trump to Florida, appeared before the grand jury in Washington, D.C. One of special counsel Jack Smith's senior-most prosecutors was involved in the interview. Martin, who is among a small group of former White House advisors who have remained employed by Trump after he left office, declined to answer any questions when approached by a CNN reporter. Smith has sought testimony from a range of people close to Trump, from his own attorneys who represent him in the matter to staffers who work on the grounds of Mar-a-Lago, including a housekeeper and restaurant servers. The staffers are of interest to investigators because of what they may have seen or heard while on their daily duties around the estate, including whether they saw boxes or documents in Trump's office suite or elsewhere. And curiously, nobody can find the standing order that he thinks he may have, definitely gave. That declassified all the documents. Primarily because they didn't exist. It's all in his head.
Like a steel trap, it's in my head.
And I had no idea. I didn't make any mention of it. But Tuesday was the 54th birthday of Kimberly Gargoyle. And Nitwit Nero was there. And he blathered and babbled about
many, many terrorists are entering the United States. The campaign's going great. We're way up in New Hampshire. We're leading in New Hampshire by 47 points. I just want to tell you, we're fighting very hard. We have a country that's in very bad shape. We have millions and millions of people pouring in from mental institutions and jails. Every country, 128 countries. So we have people coming into this country. It's a disaster, including many, many terrorists. And so we're going to change it around. We're going to change it around first.
But probably, if you see the video, the very best part of it, or worst, eye bleach will be involved if you do. Matt, I'm so sorry. Is watching Geezer Disgustus dance to YMCA.
The horror.
Oh, that's just icky. Oh, wow. Photo coming in from Scary Jerry, a day at the fair. A look at the Carnival Midway in South Florida, palm trees waving in the background. Really rooting for you to get a job encouraging people to throw ping pong balls at goldfish bowls in hopes of winning a precious baby iguana, Scary Jerry. Which part, Ralphs? What the fuck, Ralphs asks? Are you making that up? You mean about him dancing to YMCA? No, it's there. I'm never going to be okay.
YMCA. Talking about YMCA.
Thank God there's neither swirly straw nor tequila anywhere within my reach. Oh, are you aware that there's more than one Fox News TV Radio Rwanda lawsuit? Yeah, Smartmatic is also suing Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. And not for any pissant $1.6 billion, but more like $2.6. Again, hope it doesn't hurt too little. And having mentioned earlier, Little Miss MAGA, or whatever he goes by, you know, the drag queen from Utah, who is now a costume artist. No, it's not drag. It's definitely not drag. The log closet Republicans have always fascinated me. You know, kind of like one of those Attenborough documentaries. From time to time, I see also MAGA trans women, and it's like, what? There's not enough hydrocodone and pure grain alcohol to explain that away. Oh, no, Ralphs, no. He said,
we're up by 47 in New Hampshire. Millions and millions of people from mental institutions from 128 countries crossing our southern border.
No, that's all real. And remember, he says he doesn't drink, so he did that stone cold sober. And I swear there's a part of me that thinks it's all a setup. It's only going to get nuttier as he gets closer to indictment. And as I think I've said in the past, by the time the trial rolls around, he'll be wheeled in a wheelchair into the courtroom with a blanket over his lap. And he will be an absolute doddering fool. Yeah, just like a mob boss.
Mommy?
Because I'm pretty sure that's where he learned his shit. But no, the log closet Republicans wanting someone to be an ambassador to the straight community for them. Oy. They named a woman named Isabella Riley Moody one of their outspoken ambassadors for 2023. That didn't go well. Then again, like I said, I can't fathom being a gay Republican. They hate you. I mean, but then again, you know, they're self-hating. The Republican Party's full of self-hating women. I guess it's only natural that there would be some self-hating gay folk in there as well. Any marginalized community will always have a certain contingent who will try to make nice with the people who hate them in the hopes that maybe when they fire up the ovens, they won't. But they go too. Sorry, maybe I shouldn't use that fire up the ovens language. Yes, Christopher in Oregon. Hey. Dancing Donnie. YMCA, that's his favorite song. Why am I not surprised? He coined that dance. It's called Doing the Dingleberry. Christopher adds, Jerry the Scary Carney. I like the way that rolls off the tongue. I think Jerry may have a big future on the Midway. Randy Radar's trying to figure out which village person Trump would be. Let me guess, Trump's the Indian? No. Trump's the leather guy. Or at least likes to think of himself that way. So anyway, back to Isabella Riley Moody, an outspoken ambassador for 2023 for the Log Closet Republicans. Remember Dylan Clodfelter? Felter of Clods? Well, Isabella Moody's got some sort of a video blog or whatever called Moody with Isabella. Clever. And she invited Dylan the Felter of Clods to talk on her show. Dylan the Felter of Clods, in case you're wondering, is a second-tier American Nazi. He's desperately trying to reach Nick Fuentes status. I don't know how he's going to top the it's gay to have sex with a woman claim, though. I mean, that's... That's peak Magamore in there. That's what that is. But I just thought you might get a kick out of hearing from the Log Closet Republican's outspoken ambassador of 2023.
When people ask, you know, what makes us different? What is, you know, the America First position really about? It's about putting you and your families first on a national level, on an individual level, all of it. So there you go.
Does the you and your family include the Jews? I'm just kidding. Yeah, we love to joke around here.
We love to joke. Yeah, there's nothing like a little genocide joke here and there. You and your family. Does that include the Jews?
Thank you so much for joining. And Hail Hitler. No, I'm kidding. Thank you so much for joining. That was a joke. That was a joke.
It was a joke when she Heil Hitler'd. It's a joke, son. Don't you see it's a joke? I don't see you laughing. Why aren't you laughing? It's a joke, son. Ain't you got a sense of humor? She went on and said in her... acceptance of outspoken ambassador for the Log Closet Republicans of 2023. Happy to be the token straight homophobic bitch ambassador for Get Outspoken USA. And of course, Dylan, the Felter of Clods, like I said, he's a Nazi, he's an anti-Semite. The Felter of Clods also said that he wanted to visit the Pulse nightclub with a Nerf gun. Yeah, Pulse, where 49 people were slaughtered for simply existing. 53 more were maimed by the semi-automatic weapons fire. Yeah. She's played the groomer card. Public schools have groomed kids to be gay. Gay people sexually prey on minors when no, it's priests and youth pastors and music ministers of music. And I mean, I got one of those here. Not a religious type, but rather a teacher. This one showed up in my feed. Oh. Oh, there she is. Out in California. Well, the story's from the LA Times. I've never heard of National City, California, but I'm not going to doubt the Times. A woman who was given a Teacher of the Year award this past August in National City was booked into county jail after an inappropriate relationship with a 13-year-old former student. 34-year-old Jacqueline Ma was a teacher at Lincoln Acres Elementary School in National City, just south of San Diego. She was a fifth and sixth grade teacher. A concerned parent called the National City PD, saying that she was afraid that her 13-year-old was being treated inappropriately by Ms. Ma. And she was booked on what are referred to by the LA Times as numerous felony charges, was released on bail. Then they kept investigating, the detectives did, and arrested her again on Thursday and charged her with more felonies. Now she's being held at Las Colinas Detention Facility without bail. 7 counts of possession of child pornography and 4 counts of sexual exploitation of a child. 2 counts of committing a lewd or lascivious act with a child. Witness intimidation. She'd been teaching there in the district since 2013. Had a bachelor's in biology and a master's in education, both from UC San Diego. And somewhere along the way, she unfathomably developed a taste for little boys. Oh, and this. We have to go to Missouri for this one. We had the story a little bit ago out of North Dakota about how the North Dakota Supreme Court is protecting a woman's right to abortion. And we all remember the story from months back where the little girl had to flee Ohio and go to Indiana for an abortion because 12-year-olds really shouldn't be carrying babies to term. And at that time, of course, right-wingers attacked the little girl and attacked the abortion provider in Talibandiana. And one of their theories was that 12-year-old little girls can't get pregnant. Oops. Which, if you think about it, is a really shitty defense. Because that implies somehow that, well, the little girl couldn't get pregnant, but so, okay. Somebody had sex with her. Well, Missouri doesn't have the same somewhat vaguely enlightened approach to women's reproductive freedom that North Dakota has. And so, oh, I hate it when this happens. This actually happened before the Ohio story. I wonder what came of the case. The 11-year-old girl gave birth to a baby boy in a bathtub in a home in St. Charles, Missouri. then it turned out that the father, the little girl's father, took the baby and tried to drop it at a hospital. Its body temperature was 90 degrees Fahrenheit, you know, 8.6 degrees below normal, at the time that he took it to the hospital and tried to say that, it's my baby. I was having an affair. My girlfriend dropped it off at the house, and I'm trying to leave it with, so... Yeah, and then that didn't hold up when they said, well, you know, we'll have to take your DNA. And, no, okay, no, it's not my... it's my 11-year-old daughter's. Then they found out who the father was. The father of the 11-year-old little girl's baby was her 17-year-old brother, who police documents indicated had probably had sex with the 11-year-old girl something like 100 times. The defendants, the mama, the daddy, and the 17-year-old boy, were not named publicly because that would have violated the privacy rights of the 11-year-old girl, who I'm guessing is never going to be okay for the rest of her life. But that is exactly what Republicans want. They're okay with 11-year-old girls having babies.
Because it's the way that God intended.
Wow. And I hate that there was so little follow-up on the story. At the time of the story, the baby was in the care of relatives. What a horror. Just a horror. Because that's the, again, that's the America that Republicans want. So, let me see. You know what? I just got a note, and I need to knock off about a half an hour early. I was told it's very important. So, thanks, everybody. Thank you so very much. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to all of our a la carte contributors. We were a goose egg this evening, but so many people step up to help keep this going. Thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Roger in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Like and subscribe, y'all. Leave a comment, please. Press the like button on if you're listening on TuneIn, because we're up into the 700s and going for 1,000. It's all free and easy. Thank you. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Hopefully, and it will be, big news about the AKE Act coming soon. Please stay safe, get your boosters, get your flu shot. As long as there's cold weather around, it's always a good idea to get your flu shot. Wipe down your surfaces, help stop the spread of RSV. Wear your masks when you're in crowded areas because the maggots are a viral lot. So gross. Wash your hands, don't touch your face. And carry hand sanitizer with you. And if some outspoken ambassador 2023 of the log closet Republicans comes toward you down the sidewalk, Heil Hitlering, and asking, "Does that include the Jews?" Avoid that maggot like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.